2 years ago, many of you will remember that we had a very special service in which Teen Challenge came, and Dave Tate was at their head, and he brought with him three young men who told powerful stories of how God had changed their life. And I remember we talked about that service for a long time after. And so it is a very good thing that he is back. He has brought more young men with stories to tell us. And it is a powerful thing for all of us to remember that nobody is so far from God that the arm of his salvation cannot reach them. And so we are just looking forward to what you have to say. You are so welcome here. Thank you for coming. Dave, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Good morning. Seemed like just yesterday we were here. Just going to open in a word of prayer. Lord, just want to thank you for an opportunity to be here in Linden. We thank you for the warm welcome each time. We just pray for the community of Linden and the youth. We just ask, Lord, that you, your voice is louder than ours this morning. That, Lord, they see you, not us, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. I usually ask how many people are familiar with Teen Challenge, but this, I think, is our fifth time coming here. So I'm going to do it the other way. How many people have never heard of Teen Challenge before? Awesome. Well, I'll tell you, we're excited to let you know exactly what Teen Challenge is so everybody knows what Teen Challenge is. For those who don't know, Teen Challenge is a 12-month, faith-based drug and alcohol rehabilitation center serving men and women between the ages of 18 to 65. There's a lot of good programs out there. Most programs have about a 5 to 10% success rate. For those who graduate, stay clean. Teen Challenge is significantly higher, with a national success rate with over 50% for those who graduate, surveyed 5 years after graduation, are free from drugs and alcohol, positively contributing to society. And they actually did some studies to disprove that and realized it could be up around 70% and attribute it to the Jesus factor. There is no cure for drugs. The pills, the powder, and the needles are so strong, the only way to get off them is to get on something more powerful, and that's the saving grace of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, because we are faith-based, we are not government-funded. If we were government-funded, we would lose the very change agent, Jesus Christ, that gives us the success rate that we do have, and we're not willing to compromise that, are we? Look at that. Perfect. What I'd like to do is introduce you to our team, play a short video. We have a drama called Reality Is, and then I'd like you to hear from the men themselves. And just a small shout-out to the Taves. Had to do that. Is this being recorded? Okay. We got that video. Oh, no, let me introduce my guys first here. We'll start with our senior student, Brother Nate. Let's give him a warm welcome. And then our next senior would be Brother Corey. Let's give him a warm welcome. And Brother Kyle, let's give him a warm welcome. Awesome. And I graduated the program in 2008. And as we know, the more we know in our walk with the Lord, the more we realize we don't know. So I'm the biggest student here, and I'm David. All right. If we got that video, that'd be great. Thank you.
Such a feeling's coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. Not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. I'm on the top of the world.
This is the end. Beautiful friend, this is the end, my only friend, the end of our dear life.
when this first came out, when we played it at the end, no one, it was, I think, a Christian Reformed church, no one said anything. I thought, this is not good. But yeah, you know, no mice or students got hurt during the production of that. And it's the only time we could play Eye of the Tiger in a church service. But, you know, we fly under the banner of rehabilitation, but we're actually a discipleship program. So when you send someone to Teen Challenge, it's like spending 12 months with your pastoral team and the elders from Linden MB. And I always like to ask, so that would be like spending 12 months with the pastor and elders in lockdown for 12 months. And I always like to ask, if you spent 1 month with your pastor and elders from the church, would you not have an encounter with the Lord? They're nodding, Pastor. So, you know, it's just such a great program. You know, what we are, like I said, is a discipleship program. Most people aren't aware, when you send someone a Teen Challenge, the student pays $1,000 tuition for the full year. But if you took our operating costs divided by our 12 students, it's about $40,000 to $50,000 to put a student through. And when I called up Teen Challenge in 2008 and said I needed help, they had told me about the process, and I said, I don't have the tuition. And I remember the intake coordinator saying to me, do you have the application fee, the $100? And I said, yes. He said, let's apply. If you get accepted, then we'll worry about the tuition. And I remember before he hung up to me, he said, do you have faith? And I said, yes. He said, we'll see you Monday. And it could have been someone at Linden that said, if someone shows up to your door and they mean it, don't let that tuition stop them from a new life. And because of that, my mom has her son back. My children have their father. I'm now the development officer for Teen Challenge Alberta. Whoever planted that seed will never know that I've gone on to become, to have done 350 to 400 church outreaches. And it's all through obedience to him. You know, we talk about Teen Challenge, but it's the Lord. And so thank you for being one of our local mission partners, praying for us, and such a warm welcome this morning. Help me give a warm welcome to our team as they present Reality Is.
What is reality? Reality is being 16 years old and watching your best friend die right in front of you. What is reality? Reality is being 19 years old and moving 7,000 miles away from your friends and family and becoming so lonely that you become addicted to alcohol to relieve the loneliness and boredom. What is reality? Reality is being too drunk to remember the fight you had with your wife the night before and waking up to find her gone for good. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
What is reality? Reality is not being able to do anything without being high. Reality is willing to do anything for people's acceptance and love. And reality is throwing away a scholarship to play sports in North Dakota just to continue getting high and partying. How do I know that's reality? That was me.
What is reality? Reality is being too caught up in this world with drinking and drugs and image to develop any coping mechanisms for stress until they actually happen. What is reality? Reality is having a beautiful wife, two daughters to take care of, but being so caught up, again, in the image of the world that you're not spending time with them. In fact, you're working two jobs to feed your addiction. What is reality is leading up into a car crash that puts you in jail, sitting with $182,000 of debt and seeing no way out. How do I know that was reality? Because that was mine.
Although Corey, Kyle, and myself have all had different realities, we've all been changed by the same truth. The truth is, on February 3rd, 2016, I entered the Teen Challenge program. The truth is, I'm now restoring relationships with my friends and family that should have never been broken. The truth is, I now truly believe that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. And the truth is, I've now left the broad path to destruction and found the narrow road to salvation through Jesus Christ.
The truth is that on March 2nd, 2016, I entered the Teen Challenge program determined to change. The truth is that God is restoring and changing my heart and mind. And the truth is that I'm no longer first, I'm second.
Truth is, you have to die to yourself to actually gain more than you ever had before. Truth is that we follow a God of first, second, and third chances. Amen. Truth is that it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And I am now able to do what I am meant to do, which I believe is to bring the word to young men like I was, and to teach them you must die to yourself, you must die to this world to gain more than you ever had before.
And Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Even though we've all had different realities, we've all been changed by the same truth. And the reality is, the need is great. And the truth is, the Lord is willing that none shall perish. And what we have is a ministry that helps men and women have that 1 year away from the world, away from their past, away from their addiction, away from all the things the world puts on us. Sometimes it's generational, sometimes it's rebellion, sometimes it's... we've had guys who have never, half of our students come from a Christian home. And we've had guys who have fallen off a ladder at work and ends up having to get pain medication and becomes addicted. And next thing you know, he can't get it from the doctor anymore, so he's got to get it from the street. And you know, I don't normally share a lot of the, we try not to scare people about the drug epidemic, but this is our fifth time here, so we're gonna take off the, just hit the mute button there, sir. Thank you. I might be looking for work on Monday. But you know, people never used to talk about heroin because you know, that was the drug not to talk about because of how potent it is. And this new fentanyl that's out is 100 times more potent than, 50 to 100 times more potent than heroin. And if that's not bad enough, they got this carfentanil, which is used to tranquilize elephants. And just to put it into perspective, it's just fentanyl people overdosing on. Carfentanil is something else. 2 grains of salt of carfentanil would be enough, would be fatal. And you're seeing that on the news. Enough fentanyl, carfentanil in the size of a sesame seed could be fatal to an elephant. Can you imagine in the size of a Tylenol? So the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we're here today to talk about the message of hope, how God's turning lives around. We believe we have the proven cure for the drug epidemic, and that's the Jesus factor. And when you send someone to Teen Challenge, it's a strict program. The student comes in, it's a 25-page rule book. When I came in 2008, it was actually a 45-page rule book. And when I graduated, they changed it to 25. I don't know what that means. But our prayer is that as a student goes through the program, they're no longer subject to the law, but the Spirit. And once a student graduates, he can stay on, take a leadership role. It's called a phase 4. If you want to be a cook, you can do your internship in the kitchen. If you want to be a mechanic, you can go to one of our facilities with the mechanical London, where we do our vehicle donation program. We've had guys who've graduated and gone on to become missionaries and pastors. So the need is great, and the Lord is willing that none shall perish. We're here excited to let you know that we're actually, Alberta has the second largest need per capita for beds, and we have the second smallest center in Canada. And we've actually been approved to double our capacity from 12 beds to 24, and excited to bring a little bit of an update a little bit further on in our program. But thank you for being faithful, allowing us to come out and bring a message of hope, because the need is great. With that, let's give a warm welcome to Brother Nate as he shares a bit of his story.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Nate. I'm 29 years old. I was born in Steinbach, Manitoba, and I grew up there. At the age of about 5 years old, I became a Christian. I accepted Jesus into my heart. I remember praying with my mom in my room. And I grew up in the church, and I never really understood a lot about God other than that he was, I sort of understood that he was judgmental. That was what I understood about God growing up. I never really understood God's grace. So growing up in Manitoba, I had a couple best friends growing up, and around grade 9, I sort of stopped hanging out with these friends and my cousins and stuff, and didn't really have any friends, and my parents had been talking about moving to Calgary. So I welcomed the change, and in 2001 we moved to Calgary, and I went to high school there. Coming to a big city, it was pretty difficult going to from a school of 600 kids to a school of 1,500 kids. I had a lot of trouble making friends at school, but we got connected with the church in Calgary, and I met some friends there in the youth group and became close with a couple people, and that's where I met my best friend, Conrad. And he went to the same high school as me, so and he was a Christian, and we hung out together just all the time. We were practically like brothers, and he taught me how to play guitar. We started a band and had devotions together and talked about God and read the Bible, and it was very much almost like a kind of a David and Jonathan kind of brother friendship, and it was really awesome, and things were going pretty good. And then when I was just about going into grade 12, in the summer holidays, we decided to go hiking. We went to Cascade Mountain, just outside of Banff there, and we were just hiking, and he lost his footing and fell about 130 feet. So I went and sat with him till the helicopter, the stars came and airlifted him to the Banff Hospital, and sadly he passed away there. So this was a big blow for me. Losing my best friend, and he was pretty much part of our family. I mean, he was teaching my little brother piano lessons, and so it was pretty hard on the whole family. And I stayed in church for a while. I had some friends there that really supported me through the grief and the traumatic experience. And but unfortunately, these were the same friends that I went drink for my first drink with. So it started me down a path of using alcohol to cover my grief. I never really fully trusted in God to save me from that, and I turned to drinking. And in 2006, when I was 19 years old, I moved to China to teach English. I ended up staying there about 4 months, but it was very difficult moving away from everyone I knew, and still sort of being in that state of grief and moving to a country. I don't speak a word of Mandarin. I got nobody to talk to, really. There was a couple Christians there that I went to a house church with, but it was really tough. Like, I had culture shock, and that's when I started really drinking heavily. I was afraid to really even go outside. So I ended up coming home after 4 months of my one-year contract. Got a job at the airline, started traveling around the world, just doing my own thing. I just drinking, traveling, drinking, meeting girls that were not good, and eventually I started to try a couple different drugs, but thank the Lord I never got hooked on any of them, because it would have made it a lot worse with my alcohol. I ended up getting married in 2009 and divorced in 2010. My alcoholism destroyed my marriage. So just throughout the years, it was just a really, there was a couple of defining moments in my life, but really it was just the fear of rejection and the fear of losing people that really drove me to drink. I never really had a strong foundation in Christ. I left the church pretty much in 2007, I guess, or so, and I just didn't go anymore. I just didn't want anything to do with God. I didn't find that he was real to me. I was in such a deep, dark pit. I was in deep in addiction for about 7 to 10 years, I guess, somewhere in that range. And there were times when I hit, I guess it would have been about 2 years ago or a year ago in September, I sort of hit rock bottom. I was about to lose my apartment and my job, and I was just desperate for a change. And I had heard about Teen Challenge. My parents were involved with Teen Challenge for a few years, sponsoring students, and I know they'd been praying for me for a long time. So I had to move out of my place in September, and my parents took me in, and on the condition that I go to Teen Challenge. So I checked it out, and I dragged my feet for a while because I didn't really want to go. But after 4 months, I finally entered the program, and since I've been here, I've just been starting to understand that God's grace is and that God's grace and His judgment are both in conjunction. I didn't understand that before. I thought, oh, if you do bad, God judges you. If you do good, that's His grace. But that's not how it is at all. Now, I understand that His grace has nothing to do with me, but it's just a gift from God that He chose me, and I know that He will not lose any of those He has chosen. And that was one thing my mom encouraged me through my years of addiction, was that God had never left me, and I didn't believe that for a long time, but I now realize that she was right. And it's just amazing to be able to share my story here, and I never would have pictured myself doing this, you know, a year ago. So I just really thank all of you for letting me share my story with you. And if anybody needs prayer, we'll be at the table afterwards, and I'd be happy to pray with you. And I know I'm not the only one who went through this struggle, and that's what we're here for. So I just thank you for all the people who sponsor me. I already met a couple of them. It was really cool to meet you and put some face to the names. And I just thank you for everyone who prays for us and supports us financially or volunteers at Teen Challenge. If it wasn't for you guys, this place wouldn't exist, and we wouldn't be able to be saved like this. And it's a blessing from God. So I thank you.
All right. You can hang on to that. Not so easy.
Okay.
Nate is one. You're now the senior guy, right?
Yes.
We had two graduations on Friday, and so now Nate's the senior guy. They hand a baton to the senior guy, and who would have thought that 8 short months ago that he would be passed the baton at Teen Challenge to take the leadership role? And the new guys coming in, looking out for them, praying for them, knowing what it's like to come in the first day and be able to stand in the gap and bridge that. You know, I've heard hundreds of testimonies over the years. And if there's one common denominator, it's the father. Either an absent father or an abusive father. Maybe the father's there, but he's not engaged. Sometimes it's just rebellion. You know, every opportunity has been given to you. The enemy comes in different ways. When someone comes into Teen Challenge and we say that our Heavenly Father, if that father experience wasn't a good thing, they go to a bad place of what it was like for them. Brother Nate has been a senior guy. Even his first few months, he kind of stepped up, took a leadership role. Appreciate having you in the program. And what's your plans after graduating in a few short months? His dad's here, so, and he's got us on camera.
I would just like to point out that my dad is a great dad, and I was rebellious. Just
awesome.
To clarify that. But my plans after Teen Challenge, I still have my job at the airline, but I plan to eventually, what I would like to do is I would both like to go to Bible school and to university, so I know that's going to take a long time, but I'm going to start on it as soon as I get out of here, finish upgrading my high school courses, so that's kind of my plan right now. But I have a heart for the missions field, so I'm not, and for worship music, so I'm not sure how that's all going to work together, but God knows, so I'll just keep praying about it.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Awesome, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Brother Nate. How many people currently sponsor, other than Nate's dad, how many people currently sponsor a student right now? Show of hands. Wow, look at this. Thank you. Awesome. Wow, look at that. We almost have the student body sponsored, our 12 students. Part of when we do outreaches, we do outreaches for two reasons. If you or anyone you know is dealing with addiction, please come and see us at the table in the back, not for a handout, but a hand up in the fight against addiction. The second reason we do outreaches is, like I said, we're not government funded. We do have a sponsorship program where you could sponsor a student. I believe last time we were able to get a number of students sponsored, so thank you for those that stood in the gap and said, we will sponsor. The national average when we do an outreach is 1.5 students get sponsored at an outreach. Don't ask me how half a student gets sponsored. But Alberta used to be at 0.25, so we would have to do four outreaches to get one guy sponsored. Alberta is actually now 3.0. So three students get sponsored. That's our average in Alberta. And we're hoping not to go below that today. That being said, this is Nate's sponsor card. It's $40 a month. You get quarterly updates. You get invited to their grad. And you can rate your student, and it's such a great way to be able to stay in touch and get the updates. With that, let's give a warm welcome to Brother Corey as he shares his story.
Good morning. My name's Corey. I'm 20 years old. I'm from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. I've been at Teen Challenge. I think tomorrow is my completed seventh month. So, yeah, I was to start off, I guess I was born into a Christian home. My parents ended up splitting when I was around 4 years old, as far as I remember. So I live with my mom mostly, but I visit my dad on every second weekend and Wednesdays and stuff like that. So I was a Christian with my mom, but when I went to my dad's house, I found that he'd let me live whatever way I wanted to. You know, what you could do at dad's house, you could not do at your mom's house. So it was kind of opposite for me, and I grew up still a Christian. I tried to be a Christian at my dad's house as much as I could, but that's hard when you're allowed to do whatever you want. I was a decently obedient, respectful young boy growing up. At some point there, throughout going to my dad's house and back, I felt like my school and my friends and even my family at some point was disrespecting me. I felt like I was being used and walked on because I was always told to turn the other cheek, like the Bible says, and I noticed my friends would never do that. Right, they'd always fight the system and, you know, do whatever they wanted and got away with it sometimes, and that started to attract me as time went by. I felt used and walked on as a Christian, like I said, until I fought back and I started to feel better. I remember the first time I swore, I felt so convicted, I couldn't even deal with it. I had to tell my mom that I swore at school because I felt so bad, but eventually, one thing led to another, and it went down the path of doing whatever I wanted to, regardless of what I was taught. And that, in turn, that gave me a sense of power over whatever I felt I needed to have power over. I felt like I was getting respected. I felt respected by everybody because I just threatened them if they didn't respect me. So it was the power that I felt people had over me. I craved it. I wanted it. So I fought to have it. In saying that, I blame my mom for what I saw was raising me into a Christian doormat. I told God I didn't want anything to do with him because essentially he, in my mind, was my problem because my dad didn't have God present in the house, so I went with his way because he was getting love and respect from people that had it theirself. So eventually this path led me to what I feel was the bottom of my addiction there. I started to crave feelings of anger and pain and adrenaline and all these sorts of bad feelings that weren't really healthy because I had never experienced them before. I'd always just get mad and let it go and not let it bug me. I ended up becoming such a mess that I felt that I needed something to numb me from all of this confusion because I didn't know which way to go and what was right or wrong because I was trying to do it for myself at the age of 14. That's when I tried drugs for the first time. I never wanted to at first, but I gave in due to peer pressure, and that's when I smoked marijuana for the first time. My head was numb and all my cares went away. I wasn't worried about a thing until I wasn't high anymore, and it came back twice as bad. So I needed something a little bit more to numb myself from all that confusion. Before you know it, I was doing cocaine and prescription Oxycontins, and I wouldn't stop at one thing. It would be cocaine, then Oxy, and then weed, and then getting drunk, and it would all be at one time just to get myself out of my head. Eventually, it wasn't enough. I felt that I needed more than what the world was offering me with all the drugs and money and girls and partying and stuff. It wasn't enough. I could never seem to get high enough. So I was the kind of guy to push limits. Losing wasn't an option to me, and this way of life took me down a really dark, dark path as I pushed as hard as I could to be the guy I felt I needed to be. Before you know it, I noticed I'd thrown everything away from my family, my school, my friends, everything, even work. I went through a whole bunch of jobs that I couldn't keep because I felt I needed to be high at work. I would actually bring drugs with me to work to get through the day, and if I didn't have any, I wouldn't go to work. So even the hobbies, like I BMX and basketball and all that stuff, so I felt I needed to be high to even enjoy those anymore. At first, I loved this feeling of power that I felt that I had until I took a step back and realized that I didn't have anything left. I had no job, no money, no car, no place to live. I had no food. I had to steal to eat and stuff like that. It was just a real low place in my life. Until one day I mentioned to my mom that I had a problem. I didn't tell her exactly what was going on because that would just be ridiculous to tell your Christian mom what you're doing. So I never did. I just said, hey, look, I have a bit of a problem here. I'm addicted to some things. I just would like you to pray for me and give me some help. So she did, and it took me a while. I was stubborn about it, and I didn't give in to the love she was showing me for the longest time until she told me that there was a teen challenge from Saskatchewan going to her church. She invited me, and I laughed at her, told her I wasn't gonna show up. So I refused to go because I wasn't at my bottom yet, I guess. I skipped out on it. I continued to ride the bottom, living at my friend's house, not really getting anywhere in life, and I just straight up didn't care. After that time of being so low, I agreed to get help from my mom. It was either that or stay in the hole that I dug myself into with no ambition or hope to get out of it. I had nothing, and I didn't care. Just wanted to sleep. That's about it. My mom brought me here. She said God wanted me to be at Teen Challenge, and I kind of thought that was ridiculous but at the time. But now I see that she was completely right. At first, I wanted the quick fix, like drugs have given me to get over my problems. I wanted the quick fix rehab, like the one Dave Tate was saying, 5 to 10% rate. Thought I could do it myself and just change my addiction. And that's it, not change who I was or anything, but coming to Teen Challenge has really shown me that the addiction is just the top of the iceberg. You know, what led me to the addiction is what Teen Challenge really focuses on fixing, and I never knew that until I was there. When I first got to Teen Challenge, I'll never forget passing that sign was probably the worst feeling I've ever had. There's a lot of people that come into Teen Challenge and say they pass the white fence and say, like, I felt peace, and I felt so good about it. But me, I felt like I was burning up. I felt uncomfortable. I almost left as soon as I got there because I just felt so uncomfortable. But throughout the time there, I was really hard-hearted. And I noticed from being there, it doesn't matter. Like, it's really easy to go one way and, you know, do drugs, and it's really easy to quick fix and, you know, do what you're flesh desires. It's very easy to do that, and I thought that the more you do that, the bigger man you become and the more power you have. Until I got the Teen Challenge and realized that, you know, it's hard to be a Christian. It's hard to let that stuff go and face it and be a man about it and put all that fleshly stuff behind you. That's hard to do, and it's integral. So being at Teen Challenge changed my view on what a man looks like. And it's through God's grace that I'm even alive today. The countless times I shouldn't be here, like Dave was saying about fentanyl. I was one of the people that were on that. It's such a blessing to be clean and sober, though. It's the longest I remember being sober since I can remember. 7 months. Yeah, I've told God that I want him back in my life now. I actually got baptized a couple months ago. My choice, not my mom's. Yeah, so now I can try and bring my dad to Christ now. And staying here, I got my brothers keeping care of me and, you know, keeping me, what's that word? Accountable. I'm now have accountability partners. I have 11 of them. Yeah, so now I can push towards a more fulfilling life, one that's actually is full of life. You know, you can live but not have life. You know, you can have life but not live, so experience that. And a verse that I could leave you guys with is when I find my life really, it impacted me when I got here. It's James 1:8. It's a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, you know, and that was definitely me. Mom's house, dad's house type thing, really unstable. And since being here, I get that focus that I need to follow God, and that's why I'm here. That's why I'm alive today. So I hope that I got through to some of you guys through my story. There's a lot more story to the story. If you want to hear it afterwards, we got lunch. I'm glad to share with you and talk about my life. So thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Brother Corey, for the courage to come and share your story. He's one of the young guys in the program, and at the beginning wasn't sure if he was going to stick it out, and God worked on his heart. And, you know, it's interesting. I was at a graduation a couple years ago, and when a student's ready to graduate, we have a grad dinner for them, and we each tell the student what they each get to tell the graduate an encouragement to send them off with, and then the graduate can respond to the student body. And I remember him saying that I had 11 brothers holding me down for 12 months while the Holy Spirit worked on my heart, and that spoke to me. And you know, just before I was a DJ for 10 years, and all that life had to offer, hence having to go to a program. Anybody that's been a DJ for 10 years needs a program. And I remember hearing Corey's, we were on an outreach, we had a long time to talk, and he was talking to me about a story, and I never heard of some of the stuff he was sharing, the drugs available, ketamine, stuff that you tranquilize horses with, carfentanil, like I said, you tranquilize an elephant, and people are taking this. And people don't realize when someone's in that lifestyle, they're not just on one thing. They're on whatever they can get their hands on to keep their mind off of themselves, to be out of mind, because they can't look at themselves in the mirror for whatever reason. And they take this to bring them up. They take this drug to bring them down. They take another drug to level them out until they pass out. And sometimes they're up for days, weeks, if you can imagine. But sure glad that Brother Corey's in the program, and he's now one of the senior guys, and he's got a big heart, and we're so glad that he's there. Do we have time for one more testimony? All right, let's give Brother Kyle, he's fairly new to the outreach, let's give him a big warm welcome.
Hello, hello. Can I use this mic? Is that okay? Is this on?
Hi, I am Kyle. I hit 4 months coming up here right away. That is a blessing, as I'll try to tell you guys, condense my life into a couple stories. I'm 33 years old. It is called Teen Challenge, and that may confuse you. you actually have to be an adult to come into it. I'm not even I'm under the average age, put it that way. There's guys in there that are 50, 55. So your life can always be reborn again. It can always become a new person in Christ. It is never over. Like you were saying, I grew up in a fantastic Christian home. Both amazing, supportive parents. They were always there for me. I was always given an opportunity to succeed, put it that way. But my pride really got in the way at a very young age. My dad, who had a very successful career in TV, gave me opportunities to start performing. And that's a key word in my testimony, performing. And getting accolades from people, getting attention for all the wrong reasons. So that became my identity, was just attracting girls. Next thing you know, that did lead into liquor. Next thing you know, it did lead into drugs. And when liquor and drugs come in at the age of 14, you stop going to hockey, because that's a team sport. You know, I'm my own coach. I don't need a coach. And then, you know, church falls at the wayside because that's boring. So I did things that were really just entertaining to me. As that progressed, I really got confused of what my mission was. And I don't know if you guys remember in Alberta when they sold the liquor stores over, or when they went private, the government sold all their liquor stores. The church we were going to bought an old liquor store. So that was kind of a foreshadow, and I laugh now, that the last church I had really attended at the age of 14 was in a liquor store. And they had that one sign up, now open Sundays, right, for years and years and years. And I look back now that, you know, that was definitely a foreshadow. So anyways, my mission, my identity. My identity had quickly become drugs and liquor by the time high school, right? I don't know if you remember in Genesis, Noah, it's really interesting that they mention, you know, he built the ark. He did one of the most amazing things in the Bible, or the most amazing thing in the Bible other than Jesus. And the last little blurb that he had after his mission was successful, he became an alcoholic. He was a disgrace to his family. Boom, he's gone. He didn't ask Jesus for another mission. He didn't actually be like, give me another one, you know? So when my mission was, you know, to become successful to this world. At the age of 25, I'm in Vancouver. I'm wearing a suit every day. I have a mortgage. I have a beautiful common-law wife and two daughters. I'm successful in the world's eyes. But you know what? I had a $2,000 a month cocaine habit to work two full-time jobs, to maintain an image of pride. For who? To who? To what? I don't even really know. It was to nothing. It was to other people. It was attention from other people. That's all it was. When there was somebody above me watching me, waiting for me to fail. And you know what? 7 years ago, when my common law partner came to me with rehab options, because she knew, and she was one of the only people that really knew the train wreck that I was on, that I was headed to a dead end, even though on the image, I looked fine. So I thought. She came to me with Teen Challenge 7 years ago. I laughed at it. Teen, A. B, 12 months. C, you know, faith-based. I was my own faith, right? Out of frustration growing up, something that really stuck with me. My dad was Christian, but you know what? This is out of pure frustration. He said, Kyle, you're the master of your own universe. You need to make your own mistakes. Because he knew I was so hard-hearted and big-headed that I needed to die to myself. So what does it take for a guy to die to himself at this level? Well, it takes 7 more years of trials and error systematically by God to destroy me so that I can be reborn again. She left me because that teen challenge, well, that was an ultimatum. She took the girl. She went back to her mom's place. I had an empty condo that was once full of life that is now empty. Too prideful to ask for help, not knowing that his strength is made strong in our weakness. But of this world, you know, we're trained to not ask for help. So I didn't ask for anything. I was living in my truck when I crashed. 80 kilometers an hour, headlight to headlight. I was obviously drunk. I lived in my house, which was the car. And 80 kilometers an hour, headlight to headlight, I severed two vehicles in half. Went down a 30-meter cliff. Climbed out of the vehicle to get back up to the highway to go save the other people, and I passed out. Out of pain and shock. I woke up in the hospital, small town BC hospital, and you know what the paramedic said to me? You're lucky you were drunk, so that you were relaxed. And I took that to heart. I was lucky. Pride. Well, it's not luck when the two people that you hit in the other vehicle are coming back from grocery shopping. You know what I mean? Like, all three of us walked away unscratched. I'm not joking. I have a picture in my pocket sometimes that I just look at this truck.
A Trailblazer and an F-150 severed in half, headlight to headlight at highway speed, and all three of us walked away. That is not something that I was drunk and lucky, you know? They were too then. And no, they were not drunk and lucky. It was Jesus. They were Christians. And so what's coming up to me? Well, I know what's coming up to me. A maximum of 4 years in prison for hitting two people and hurting them. You know, we did all walk away, but that doesn't matter. You know, you're still physically hurt and mentally hurt. So what does a prideful person do that is used to wearing suits every day and performing? He goes to court and pretends to be a lawyer and defends himself in front of a judge for going against 4 years. Well, she doesn't give me four. I go away to jail, though. I lose everything. I now lose respect from my baby's mom. I obviously lose the house I was trying to sell. And I'm sitting in a jail cell with $182,000 of debt. Nothing but shame and regret and being so alone and lost. I didn't know what to do. When a chaplain, you know, comes to your cell and asks if you want to leave your cell for an hour a week extra, of course you do. So you start going to church in jail. No, you do not get up and cry to a church full of people in jail. You just listen. You sit there stone-faced. You get an extra coffee and a cookie. But that little mustard seed that he would give me, that he had in his eyes of, there's something past this. Spirituality started to really churn in me and get awake. So I moved on. And from that, outside of jail, I joined up with a church. I see you guys are doing community or communion. You know, the word community comes from that. And that is a big thing. I joined a church after jail. I knew I needed something. I needed spirituality. God was the answer. I got it. But what I had put on a shelf to hope it would fade and decay away was an addiction. I drank so much harder for the next 3 years while still trying to be an image of a Christian that it took me way more crashes to get to it. But without that community and that communion that I was now a part of in Calgary for 3 years, next thing you know, I was living on the street. I was stealing food. I was stealing liquor, still trying to make it to church, smelling like liquor if I had to. And they scraped me up off the street, and they took me to Teen Challenge. And it saved my life, straight up. And when you start reading the Bible and those verses that you heard as a kid start actually making sense and coming alive, the book is living. It is the living word. You know, it does not stop. It will keep going on. It is 2,500 years old, sure, but it is alive today as it was back then to anybody. It will give you everything you need. You know, the last word in the Bible, Revelation 22:17, states that, come, come ye who need to drink the living water for free. Come and drink it. Had I known that, you know, asking for help was a true sign of strength back then, that this Bible was going to give you all you need to just follow, and that communion with a community will save your life, it would have, you know, stopped a lot of people from getting hurt. And C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors, says, pride is the root of all man's evil, and I do fully believe that. You know, doing nothing is prideful. Doing a lot is also prideful. You know, thank you guys. Teen Challenge is an amazing ministry. You're not just sponsoring me. You're not just sponsoring them. You're actually sponsoring the person behind me so that they have an opportunity to come to a place like that and hopefully save a life. So thank you.
Thank you, Brother Kyle, for the courage to come and share your story. God is on the move, and a guy like me, pride was one of my issues. I needed to stay involved with the ministry and be part of something bigger than myself and give back, and I needed to see 1,000 men come through this from broken to, when you graduate, you don't arrive, you at least have the roadmap. And this is Brother Kyle's sponsor card. We are looking to get Brother Kyle sponsored. He's fairly new to the sponsorship program. And actually, this is Corey's sponsor card. I didn't show you that. But just in closing, the sponsor form in your bulletin, please don't put it in the offering. If you bring it to the table in the back, we'll actually write on there who you want to sponsor, and we will make sure we give you the corresponding card. In closing here, I believe we went a bit over time. We have been approved to expand to 24 beds. It'll actually be 32 beds, so 24 students and then eight phase four. Is that six or eight? Six. eight phase fours. So it'll be a new facility. It's much prayer is needed. Our previous executive director, I meet with him often, and he says pretty specifically the expansion's $5.5 million. We're working with a consulting company, and they're helping us try to raise 80% before we go to the public or our donors and ask them to help us with the last 20%. We had about 1.4 donated in the last few weeks, which puts us at 1.4. But our goal is to raise that 80% of the 5.5 million is 4.4 million. We have 1.4, so we need to raise 3 million for us to go to our donors. And so our prayer is that we can raise 1 million in Edmonton North, 1 million Calgary Central, and 1 million in Lethbridge for the South. So if you know anyone that would like to be a part of what God's doing at Teen Challenge and help us support 24 Kyle's, David's, Corey's, or Nate's, we could sure use your help on that. You can come see us at the table in the back. With that, I'd like to thank you again for allowing us to come, Pastor Chris. Always a pleasure, and thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Kyle, Corey, Nate, so good to have you. We are going to do an offering now. I will call the ushers up. If you want to donate to Teen Challenge, write on your check to Teen Challenge. Put it in this offering envelope that is in the back of the pew in front of you, and then write Teen Challenge on the outside of the envelope as well. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the great stories that we heard this morning about things that you did, things that you did in the lives of people, saving them. And we just want to lift you up as our great Savior. Thank you for what you do for us. Just pray for Teen Challenge. They have this big idea of expanding their place there to 24 beds. It would be a great thing to have them be able to bring in more people in need of your help and your love. And so I pray that you would provide for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Together. So I'm going to call up the deacons if they can just get this ready here for the communion. For all of us, our natural self, the self that we are born with, leads us to destruction as equally and surely as for anyone else. And for all of us, our hope and our help is Jesus Christ. So we want to recognize the cost that he paid for each of us. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and after having given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us eat together. After supper, he took the cup also, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Unravel me with a melody.
Let us drink the cup together. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for the great sacrifice that you made on our behalf. We did not deserve it. You reached down and saved us, and you paid a great cost for the sin that was ours to do. And because you gave your body and your blood for us, we have a chance, a second chance, to be in your presence and to be with you. And we are so grateful for this. And we pray these things in the name of that Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. You are dismissed. Take a chance to meet these people and enjoy them.